From the depths of the Pacific Ocean comes the largest arthropod in the world!
What's an arthropod?
Yo, kid, you kind of ruined our dramatic intro.
What's dramatic mean?
Moose Jaw Matt, I need your help. We have a kid asking questions.
Oh, hey, Isaac. That's easy. We'll just answer their questions. For now, you can tell them that the theme song will take it away.
Take what away? Where's it going?
Never mind. Theme song, do your thing. This one is a special request for a supporter we've had from the very beginning. Hosanna out in Washington State! Yee-haw, this one's for you. We're going to talk about the largest living arthropod in the world. An arthropod is the largest phylum in the animal kingdom. 84% of all animal species are arthropods, and most of those are insects. There are about 1,000 species of arthropods. 1 million. That's not 1 million animals, that's 1 million types of animals. Another word for species, you might say types. So, we are talking about a huge category of animals, and the largest one of all of those approximately 1 million species is one of the ones we're going to talk about today. Before we reveal what that large animal is, let's talk about arthropods. Here are some families of animals you might find in this phylum: crustaceans, arachnids, and, as we already mentioned, insects. These types of animals have jointed skeletal coverings. They're often called exoskeletons. Exo comes from a Greek word, ek. It's where we get our word exit. So this has to do with something going out or on the outside. An exoskeleton is on the outside. Our skeletons as humans are on the inside. And then we have skin covering. It's a little bit more attractive than exoskeletons. They're not very cuddly. Arthropods are not cuddly. They also have segmented bodies. So if we think about these exoskeletons like pieces of armor, it makes sense. If you had one solid sheet of metal as armor or leather or whatever it was made from, it would be very difficult, if not impossible, to move. But if you have places where it joins together and makes joints, then you can move. That's why the key words jointed and segmented. They're pieces of armor that can move and bend in certain areas. Okay, so the big question is, what type of arthropod is the largest in the world? Well, that belongs to the category of spider crabs. Spider crabs can be huge. However, there are over 2,000 species of spider crab, with about 200 in North America alone, which means we can't be talking about all of them. They're not all the largest in the world. There's one type, one kind, that is larger than the rest: the Japanese spider crab. Japanese spider crabs live in the Pacific Ocean near where?
Oh, I think they live near Hawaii.
Nope, they live near Japan. Take a hint from their names, Japanese spider crabs. What's interesting is how long these crabs can live. More than 10, more than 20, more than 30. They can live for 100 years. Well, as they're growing and growing and growing, their main body stops when they're about 15 inches across. If you can have a parent or grandparent hold out their arm, the distance from the elbow to the fingertip is approximately 15 inches, give or take, depending on the size of your parent, of course. It's the legs, however, that keep growing. Imagine if this happened for humans. If you lived to be 100 years old and your body stopped growing, but then your legs kept going, we would look funny. Well, spider crabs, Japanese spider crabs especially, do look kind of funny. Their legs are really thin and really long. The largest specimen, or at least one of the largest recorded specimens, has legs that are about 12 feet across from claw to claw. That's about 3.5 to 4 meters. That's a large crab, and they can weigh about 45 pounds, or about 20 kilograms. Well, you might be wondering, what do Japanese spider crabs eat? They eat plants and animals, including dead fish, shellfish, and mollusks. It's a scavenger. Something that is willing to eat other scavengers is definitely a scavenger. I wanted to share another fact, though, about another type of spider crab, a candy crab. Remember, there are over 2,000 species, and we're only really focusing on two. But this other one, the candy crab, is really pretty. It's pretty small, and then it's actually just plain old pretty. The colors are lovely. In fact, that's how it gets its name. It looks like a little piece of candy. And it can be, these colors are like swirls. They swirl in together, or they can be spotted, beautiful, brightly colored pastel colors, like spring kind of candy colors, not pasta colors, pastel colors, such as white, yellow, pink, blue, purple, and green. They are brightly colored because they're mimicking the soft corals that they're using for their habitat, the place where they're living. They are blending into their surroundings, in this case, the soft coral. And do you know what word we use to describe blending in? Camouflage! Well, here's another word. It's not just living in the corals and just using it. They both benefit, the coral and the crab. The crab receives shelter and sustenance. What do you think it does for the coral? Think about it. It helps keep the coral clean, and it also can defend it. So in a way, they're both protected by working together. This type of relationship where both species benefit is called a symbiotic relationship, specifically a mutualistic symbiotic relationship. You can have symbiotic relationships where only one species benefits, but in this case, both benefit. So it's a mutualistic symbiotic relationship. What I appreciate about the candy crab working well and living with the corals is that they both benefit, and I think it represents life fairly well. If you watch some nature shows, they make it seem like everything's out just to survive. Everything is selfish. But that's not always the case. That may be a part of the story. We do live in a world that is not perfect. However, there is so much giving. When you think about the sun is giving its energy to the earth, and the earth is receiving that energy. It's not taking it. It's not selfish. The center of our solar system is giving. Think about trees. They're giving us oxygen, beauty, something for the eyes to see, habitat, protection. What about bees? What do they give us? Honey. Well, some bees. Honeybees do. But they're going around and pollinating. They are offering their services to the flowers, and the flowers are offering back. Everywhere you look in nature, there is an opportunity to see service, giving, selflessness. It's not all about take, take, me, me. That's what we might see if we look at things from one perspective. But if we change our perspective and think, does nature give? We're going to find a lot of evidence. So we can be like the candy crab. We can give and receive and both can benefit. Yeah. Speaking of celebrating, Hosanna, happy birthday. I hope you have a candy crab birthday. I think you know what I mean by that. I hope it's a wonderful, beautiful birthday. And you're out in Washington State. It's lovely out there. I've been there. It is beautiful. Happy birthday, Hosanna. And thank you to our latest supporters, Ava and Avon. Thank you for supporting the podcast and joining our team. Woohoo! Yeah! Woohoo! And there we go. Listeners, I hope you learned something new about the spider crabs. I certainly did. I'm Moose Jaw Matt. Until next time, keep exploring your world.